I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS, you're a swinger. Good on you.
In Scott's head, everyone is naked.
Just like a Saturday night at Ibbot's Lift.
You're wearing the band. Pull your pants off.
In Soviet Russia, chess robot break you.
Love lift me up where we belong.
I'm sorry, I'm drunk.
Did the movie pop your corn?
Retired admirals hang out at the Old Navy.
New rule. No one is allowed to die.
Tom Cruise, the dream.
He's a desecrated corpse.
Ambidextrous midnight runners.
Old action heroes are expendable.
How many languages does Major Spoiler speak? And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
All right, ladies, line it up.
The bus is leaving. Don't make me tell you twice.
You're a total dildos.
The Morning Stream.
I drink to quiet the voices in my head. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, July 25th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson and that's Brian Ibbot. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Well, hi. Happy Monday to you. Happy
Thanks,
beginning
man.
Of a brand new week.
It's one day after Pioneer Day here in Utah, which meant fireworks all night again.
Yeah, how late did they go last night?
Too late, like 11:30 midnight, something like that. I think I even heard some this morning, so yeah, we're dumb that way. But whatever, we got, you know, one of the worst droughts in American history. Why not try to set it on fire?
What a great time to just randomly throw fire around.
Yeah, yes, let's just burn things. That's fine. Let's do it. Yeah. But it was okay. We had a big get together. Had my side of the family all come over, and it was so nice outside because earlier in the day it was windy and clouds and a little bit of rain, and then that all cleared up. But that meant the whole day hadn't been baking. Mm-hmm. So
which helps.
Yeah, which helped a lot. So when they all came over, backyard's all shaded, everybody's chilling, had a great time. It's nice to see all Perfect. Nieces and nephews and their considerable others and all that kind of stuff. My brother Matt eating all the food in front of him. It's great. Always fun to watch that. Missed Wendy mm-hmm. here, but what are you going to do? She's not mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
Well, we had a good time. It was nice.
I cranked out Lyft rides. There was a hit 44 rides and get a bonus thing that I thought, well, there's no way I'm ever going to hit it, right? Because I had that big Colorado Springs ride on Monday last week. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, was basically like 3 hours of my time on two rides. So I'm like, well, all right, I'm not going to get that bonus. But
I almost forgot. I got to play this before you tell me. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, we have lift music.
Where is this?
And he woke up, and he realized they were still driving.
All right. Some Bruce Willis thing.
That's the lift intro?
Yeah, I don't know where that's awesome. From, but it's Bruce Willis talking about driving. Anyway, go ahead.
But for whatever reason, I lucked out on, I decided to just go for an hour and a half while Tina was grocery shopping and taking care of a couple things that she wasn't going to be able to sit down and watch TV with me anyway on Saturday night. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'll just do a little Saturday night lifting. My favorite John Travolta movie.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
you know, I make these estimations of like, oh, I think I might have taken an escort to, you know, mm-hmm. Picked up an escort or whatever.
Sure. And her name was Lorraine Boebert.
Lauren.
Is it Lauren? What is it? I don't know.
Just Lauren Boebert. Yeah. Okay. I definitely took a couple to a swingers club on Saturday night.
Yeah. Swingers club. How do you know it's a swingers club? Is it known to be
so
one?
So they got in the car and I look and see, you know, I basically look at the destination so that I can confirm. After I confirm the name, I confirm the destination with them.
Yeah.
And so I say, oh, Scarlet Ranch. Wow. Is that a restaurant? And they giggle a little bit. You know, it's a club, but they have a really good restaurant there. Like, oh, okay. I'm thinking, all right, that seemed a little vague.
Yeah.
The whole time they were chit chatting and just talking about, oh yeah, we got to make sure we meet with, Sandy and Shelley and Denise or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, we get to, where the turnoff is on the road. This kind of nondescript, like there's kind of a wooden sign with the word with a squirrel on it or something. And I turn and go down this driveway, and then it kind of turns and goes into this nice area with like what looks like a restaurant made to look kind of like a big log cabin kind of thing. Like lots of wood, lots of, you know, really nice.
It's an interesting motif for this, but okay.
It's an interesting, I think it used to be a steakhouse. And I go, wow, the place looks like it's really hopping. And yeah. the woman in the car goes, yeah, it does.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm almost like, get out of my car.
Yeah, get out of my car right now. Yeah. I don't want this to go any further. No. Get out.
You know, and I was thinking about this, like, oh, and so basically as soon as I drop them off, I'm not even back to the main road yet, and I've got Google open and I'm searching for the name of this place to see if my suspicions are correct, and it's a and it is what it is. And sure enough, yeah, if you Google Scarlet Ranch in Littleton, Colorado, you'll find not only a description, but also there are Yelp reviews which are unusual, like,
oh
wow, the music in this place seems rooted in the early 2000s. Like,
wow. Well,
that's a really odd complaint for this place.
Yeah, no kidding. Do they I don't know what swingers clubs are like, so I don't know what you would review.
Well, they have a restaurant kind of thing in the front. Tina has actually been in there because she had to do an interview. She went there during the day because she had to interview one of the people who worked there back when she was doing background investigations. That somebody needed security clearance, and she didn't know what this place was until she got in there, and the whole thing just seemed kind of like, this seems really hazy and weird. And then she did the same thing; she looked it up. So oddly enough, Tina and I have both been to a swingers club for work.
Same swingers club. That's
same
great.
Swingers club.
So yeah. Wait a minute. Let me ask you this question: if you go in there, and well, okay. I always hear the two things. There's the pineapple, and then there's the black wedding band is supposed to now be a sign.
Which I wear.
Same. It's like mine's upstairs, but same thing. Like, I don't like that they took that from us. Let us have our ring.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's not like they're going to see the wedding band and say, no, you're wearing the band. You can't protest and say you're not going to be in. You're in because you're wearing that band. You have to now pull your pants down.
Yeah, it's kind of like white supremacists taking the Punisher image from Marvel Comics and calling it their own. Right. Freaking F off! We already had it before you did, dicks.
Before we go any further in this conversation, I do want to say, you know, if that's your lifestyle, totally cool. I am totally cool with that. I don't care.
It's fine.
I don't care. And and I was about to say that had I not known that they were swingers, I wouldn't have, you know, when she said the place was hopping, oh yeah, it really is. You know, if I was dropping them off at an Outback Steakhouse, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. So it's like, okay, I can't let a lifestyle that's different from my own muddy what I think of those people. They seem perfectly nice. They were very friendly. They were chatty the whole time with each other, but also with me and super friendly and stuff. So And if you're into that lifestyle, good on you. And I know we have some listeners who are, and I don't know how you do it, because I don't have the kind of self-esteem that would be okay doing that sort of thing.
Sure. I like the idea of, I like the phrase, oh, you're a swinger. Good on you. I like that.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you. Good on you. Off you. Whatever.
Whatever you need. Well, that's fun.
Anyway. Yeah. It was a funny thing just to, like, as soon as they were out of the car, as soon as I round the corner out of that little driveway past the wooden scroll thing, it's like, all right, what is this place? Is this really what I think it was? Oh my God, it totally was.
Yeah, I would have wanted to detective that out as well, had I thought what I thought. That's great.
Other than that, I did 22 rides yesterday.
Oh wow.
No weirdness at all.
All without incident. That's good.
No incident, no goofy people, friendly people, but no, like, no good lift stories, unfortunately,
Well, it's a volume thing, right? You just you do enough of them, you're going to run into some weird stuff. And
I would think so. Yeah.
You'd think with 22, you might get some weirder, but nope. Just some nice, friendly swingers.
JC Calhoun found a Yelp review from the page. The place itself is cool and the people were nice. However, I got chlamydia. Would go again.
Wow.
That's a legit Yelp review.
I wonder if that Yelper actually went, though. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to actually verify it.
It does seem like I'm going to put on a fake review for this place kind of thing.
Yeah, because you could. There's nothing stopping you. They don't.
Easily. Well, I mean, yeah,
no verification.
The fact that now people forever, when they search your reviews, they're going to see that you went to this place.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. But if you troll for fun, or if you troll for, not for a living, but if you're used to it, then maybe you don't care. I don't know. But it seems like, that's actually my biggest problem with Yelp is, you can review bomb the hell out of it. If somebody's mad at, I don't know, whoever, they're mad at Burger King for some reason, they can just review bomb and make Burger King look like the worst Yelp reviewed thing in the world.
I don't know if they do it, but they should somehow do it kind of like Lyft does. Let's say you get some passenger who's just had a crap day, they get in your ride and whatever, maybe you make a wrong turn, you have to U-turn, double back or something, whatever, and they decide they're going to take out their bad day on you and give you one star. Hasn't happened to me, but I'm kind of waiting that I'm just going to get somebody who, whatever, just doesn't.
For whatever reason, or they hit it wrong, or who knows what they're.
Right.
Yeah.
Your score is based on your last 100 reviews opposed to your lifetime reviews. And so that's probably what Yelp should do, is like base it on the last 20 or the last 30 or something like that, so that, let's say you turn things around or you have a bad run of things, or you just have one customer who's ticked off, you get a, you know, you're that kind of fades away, a little 7 year, what's the, your crimes disappear after 7 years, equivalent.
Not expungement. What's that called? Statute of limitations. Is that the thing?
Statute of limitations. Is that it? Maybe that's it. Yeah.
So. Like Seinfeld, when they're like, statue? No, statute.
It's a statue of limitations.
Statute. Yes. Yes, it's a sculpture of limitations, says Jerry.
Or Joey's, the whole point is moo.
I don't remember that, but that's funny. It's actually funny. And I don't
the point is moo.
Yeah, that's really good. All right.
Well, anyway, very nice people. But you know, as soon as I left that place, I'm like, oh, I think that was a place that I would never want to go into,
because
I'd
be
too freaked out.
Yeah, I'd be pretty freaked out in there, I think.
Yeah.
Just with the knowledge of what it is, it's fine. Yeah. People who do whatever they want to do. Do what you got to do, man.
Exactly.
I had a dream about Tom Cruise I'd like to share.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. That seems completely normal and
vivid dream with Tom Cruise, not in a gross way.
Oh, gosh.
For some reason, in this dream, Tom Cruise would not let me do anything but hang out with him. Constant at his side everywhere he went, everything he did. And we were like in some fancy houses, a bunch of parties, a private jet, premiere of some movie he's in.
Yeah.
Didn't know what movie, didn't say. The dream didn't say. That's a weird way of putting it. The dream didn't say.
The dream didn't say. I mean, it really is. The dream didn't say.
But I spent like just, you know, the entire dream with Tom Cruise hanging out, and he'd be like, hey, let's go get burgers. Okay, cool. And then I would get in a car with Tom Cruise and we'd go get burgers. I'd say, hey, I was thinking maybe a movie or something. You want to do that? Should we go out or should we do it in my theater? I'm like, I don't care either way, Tom. And he's like, okay, well, we'll still do it at home. So we'll just tell everybody we're downstairs. Like that kind of, it was just like a weird, he couldn't that do anything really if weird. I wasn't with him, which made me uncomfortable. I didn't like it. Anyway,
yeah.
So that's going on. The dream was specifically tailored in such a way that I always, not just once, not just after the dream, but always noticed his middle tooth the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The dream was prominent about it. Almost like the middle tooth was larger than the other teeth.
Like it was way more prominent. Yeah.
Yeah. So just
did he ever suggest, hey, let's go for a run?
No, we never did run, which is funny because you'd think in a Tom Cruise dream,
you'd want to see him run too. Yeah.
Or jump on a couch or some other stereotype about him. But
right.
None of that happened. And also the dream had no Scientology in it at all, like any references or any, hey, we're going to church today at Scientology church or whatever. None of that. So it was just Tom Cruise palling around with Tom Cruise. It was really weird.
That's funny.
He made me do work. He made me like rake leaves and what was the other thing?
Really?
Yeah, to clean.
Did he rake them with you though, or did he just stand by with his arms folded and watch you rake?
No,
leaves?
He wouldn't do it with me. He just stood there and was drinking or on a phone or something. But he was always within earshot, and I'm out there raking leaves. What the hell's that about?
Tom Cruise, put you to work.
Yeah.
Sometime over the weekend, I listened to a Howard Stern or part of a Howard Stern interview with Seth Rogen.
Mm. So I went to I drove up to Tom Cruise's house.
Yeah,
but he apparently had to meet with Tom Cruise for some movie thing, and I'm trying to think of what he didn't say what it was for, and I'm trying to think of what they ever did together. But he said that he had to pee on the way in so badly that up the winding drive he pulled off for a second, grabbed a Snapple bottle, peed into a Snapple bottle, and then drove up the rest of the way to Tom Cruise's house because he didn't want to show up at the front door and go, hey, Tom Cruise, nice to meet you. Can I use your bathroom?
Sure. Yeah.
And then on the way back down the windy road, he notices a bright red light of a camera basically right where he was peeing into the Snapple bottle.
Did Tom Cruise say anything about it? Like,
no, he never did. But he apparently owns, you know, has a tape, a blackmail tape of Seth Rogen peeing into a Snapple bottle.
Well, this is just odd. I just was trying to find out what movie maybe they worked on.
Yeah,
and I can't find anything. But what I did find on IMDb is an entire listing for Seth Rogen talks preacher and his hilarious Tom Cruise encounter. With Tracy Bear? I don't know who that is. It's a podcast.
So it must have been another interview.
I guess, but how do you get a single listing on IMDb for a story you told once? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah.
Either that or is it a podcast? What is this?
It looks like it is. Young Hollywood is the show. Oh, yeah, I'll bet it's an interview.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, also rest in peace, David Warner. That's bad news.
Oh,
today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I love that guy.
The best Jack the Ripper, if you ask me.
I agree. He's also...
Find me a better Jack the Ripper.
All the time. Every time we reference There Are Four Lights, we're talking about that guy. He's the Cardassian. Yeah,
right.
Every time I think of Time Bandits, I think of his devil guy. Whenever I think of...
Yes. Don't touch it. It's evil.
My favorite moment in all of Titanic is him standing right at the part that split.
Tron, of course.
Tron, yeah. Looking at one of Hollywood's first Easter eggs. They had a little Pac-Man going on that screen he was looking at all the time.
Right, yes.
David Warner was awesome. That guy was great. He was Commander or Admiral Gorkin in Star Trek VI Undiscovered Country, which was him. He was the Klingon ambassador who wanted peace. He was like kind of your Gorbachev of science fiction. And, got shot, but because of him and his sacrifice, they figured out a way to make peace with the Klingons. That was pretty cool.
Right. Right. Star Trek 6? 5?
5 or 6. I think it was 6? 6.
Undiscovered Country or...
Undiscovered Country 6. 5 was the terrible one that Shatner made.
Yeah.
Final Frontier.
No way, no way home.
No way home. There's no way home from that horrible directing job. Anyway, we also got some kind of other... I want to hear about Tom Cruise's Top Gun. Let's do that first. You went and saw The Maverick and
I saw Maverick. Yeah. But you know, in your notes you say how was Top Gun 2? And I'd say Top Gun 2 is a much better title for what I saw than Top Gun Maverick.
Mm.
it's obviously the movie does focus on Pete Mitchell, aka Maverick, and his whole Top Gun,
sure,
post Top Gun lifestyle, where he hasn't left. He hasn't moved on from being a captain. He doesn't want an admiral position. He doesn't want anything but just to stay captain,
sure,
because he's haunted by the loss of Goose. But now there's this young son, played by Miles Teller, the son of Goose, who has the same cheesy mustache as Anthony Edwards, wears the same Hawaiian shirt as Anthony Edwards, sits at the same piano as Anthony Edwards, and plays Great Balls of Fire just like Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that's his deal. He's that guy. Yeah. did it work for you, though? Was it fun?
That said, it was a very enjoyable popcorn flick. We're not going to see anything about it come Oscar time. Maybe one of the technical awards, sound effects, editing or sound design or visual effects or something. But it did enough fan of the first film service, but added enough new stuff. It's like, okay, it's not a complete rehash, but it's also very, very... There's a lot of payoff for people who really enjoyed the first film. You got to see Tom Cruise riding his motorcycle alongside fighter jets flying, because apparently that's a thing.
Yeah,
you have to have a beach sport of some sort, a shirtless beach sport being played.
Of course you do. Did you? So I know we get a Val Kilmer appearance. Do we ever see Kelly McGillis? Is that we're done there?
We're done with Kelly McGillis. Meg Ryan, sadly, I was really hoping for a Meg Ryan appearance, because mm-hmm. I thought that would have been appropriate, seeing how really the focus of the film is on this battle between Goose's son and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yes, Danger Zone did play Winmegas. You do hear Danger Zone.
I mean, of course.
You hear all the, you don't hear Take My Breath Away, but you do hear that. That Harold Faltermeyer or Jan Hammer or whoever that opening song is, the theme, the Top Gun theme.
I know exactly. Much what you mean, yeah.
I keep wanting to go do 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 do. But that's obviously not the song, but it's something like that.
Yeah, that's Saint Elsewhere, I think, is what that is.
Saint Elsewhere.
Yeah.
But you get John Hamm and Jennifer Connelly kind of being added to the mix, and Jennifer Connelly added so well to the fit, very age appropriate person for Tom Cruise to be have a history with and that sort of thing. So much so that Mrs. Crazy Neighbor on the way out of the theater said, "No, wait, was Jennifer Connelly in the first one too? Because I don't remember her." I said, "No, they added her to kind of replace Kelly McGillis, and they did such a good job of that you don't even notice it." Nope. She's mentioned in the first movie, Ikor? Oh, really?
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I didn't know that. Oh, and she's 10 years younger than him. Wow. Okay. Well, I hate to say it. I mean, freaking Tom Cruise does look really good for his age.
It's all the thetans.
So does Jennifer Connelly. They didn't seem that,
she looks great,
that far apart. Yeah.
Tom Skerritt or Michael Ironside, they didn't bring them back?
No, I was really bummed. I was, Tom Skerritt, I was like, all right, that makes sense, because isn't Tom Skerritt, didn't he pass away?
No, he's with us. He's alive.
He's still alive? Okay. No, yeah. But I was really hoping we'd get a jester appearance.
Yeah, Michael Ironside still kicking too. I would have loved to have seen either one of them. Just have them, I don't know, go to the old folks home, the old Navy place where they, the old Navy.
The old Navy.
Yeah, go to the old Navy, and you'll find him there. I mean, they got Val Kilmer. He may as well get some of these other dudes back.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Tim Robbins. All these people from the first film you could have brought back.
Should have brought back Duke Stroud. Air Boss Johnson is who he played. Stroud. Okay. He's dead, so don't bring him back.
Oh, okay. Don't bring.
He's a desecrated corpse at this point. You don't want.
Gotcha.
That.
Okay.
Well, anyway. We had some bad news in our community. A lot of you have heard his name many times. I've known the guy or talked to the guy since, gosh, I want to say like ELR days.
Wow. Yeah, he was at the 20. I think he didn't he come to a Nerdtacular 2015,
I think.
15, yeah, I think. Yeah.
Maybe 14.
Yeah.
I think it was 15. Nigel Cox passed away yesterday, and he was kind of quietly one of the best we ever had. He was an amazing dude, and I didn't even know he had cancer. I had no idea.
Oh, really? Yeah. Boba Fettish, wow, if you knew him by his avatar. He reached out back in 2020, not 2000, back in 2020, to just kind of get some advice from me and Tina about stuff that he was experiencing with chemo. And Tina was able, Tina really connected with him on like, oh yeah, here's some things, get a heating pad, get some bone broth, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, but apparently lately he'd been having some worse,
yeah, things,
worsening health
things
issues,
got worse. So he went to the hospital, was there for a couple of days, was still, you know, sort of talking to people on social media and seemed like he, you know, in good spirits, he was feeling like he was going to be there for a bit and then home. But yeah, we found out yesterday, and I just like gutted by this news. It's awful.
Know. Yeah,
I hate it. I hate when one of you guys. Look, I didn't plan on this. When we were all like building community and starting shows and doing all this stuff, I didn't know we'd all get close, and then you know people would have to die. Mm-hmm. That freaking f's up mm-hmm. everything. I don't like it. No, sir, I don't. So I hope his family's okay. I hope his friends are all right. He'll be missed. He was a really, for sure. really nice guy. All right. With that out of the way, let's see if we can have some fun. He would have liked that. He would have enjoyed some fun.
Absolutely. And we'll have a little tribute to him at the end of the show, too.
Oh,
musical.
Good. That sounds
musical
great.
Musical tribute.
We're going to bring Dunaway into this show. Because it's Monday, see? And that's what we do.
Yeah, we haven't... It feels like we haven't had one of these in a while. Because I think, obviously, you were gone last week for your birthday hangover.
That's right. That's right.
The week before, I think he wasn't able to be part of.
He had a meeting or something.
Half asses, right? So we did something else, and then the week before that was the 4th of July. So we didn't have a show.
We didn't. So now we got to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brian Dunaway to the show. It's Brian Dunaway. Hi.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi, man.
Oh, hi.
How are you? What are you doing? Mister,
I'm doing okay. You know me. Yeah. It's Monday.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still hot outside. I'm not trying to rub anybody's face, but it's not as muggy as it has been. So I'm sorry if you're muggy where you are, but for me.
Definitely not muggy here.
Mugs.
No, we got nice dry weather here, but it is hot. I will say that. Yeah. The day before yesterday.
It's a dry heat, Brian.
It's a dry heat.
Let me tell you about my office air conditioning.
Do it.
The hotter it gets outside, the colder it gets into my room because my office is attached to people who work outside. Mm. And so the hotter it is, the temperature decreases. Right now it's around 65 degrees in my office. I'm not joshing.
That's kind of cold.
Literally 65.
Yeah. That's jacket weather in a building like that. You need to have a jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I go outside and it's like in between when I open my door, sometimes a tornado forms. It's that much of a difference between pressure.
Cold front comes in
Man, you can't predict this weather. Well, all right. It's good to have you here. We're going to play a little Morning Half Asses. It's been a bit since we've done this, so let's play it. Hey, Brian, how does it work, and how do these people win prizes?
Well, it's like this. Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you two the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if you get any of them wrong... you get 0 points for that round. Guess one, get it right, you get a point. Guess two and get them both right, gets 3 points. And if you guess all three correctly in that round, you get 5 points. And the player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant.
Nice.
Contestants are going to be pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Andrew Minier from Indiana.
Minier's. Sweet.
And Brian, you're going to be playing for Chris from Calgary.
Chris from Calgary. I like the vibe of that.
You like the Calgary?
Yes, a little Canadian Chris from Calgary.
Yeah, it's like the Olympics, but not. Anyway.
Exactly. I see you both are in the game. Let's go ahead and get things started, and let's go easy on you.
Yes,
with,
please.
With a couple of these questions. Let's start with this one. Characters that survived the film. All right. So characters that made it through their film and survived. Dumbledore in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Major Kong in Doctor Strangelove. Corporal Hudson in Aliens. Anakin Skywalker from Return of the Jedi. Henry Hill in Goodfellas. And Bambi in a little movie called Bambi.
Okay. All right.
Who survived the film they were in?
In the okay, so that one film, that not one later film. On. Right. I gotcha.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, one of these
ghosts, does that count as being
one of these? I have an actual technical question about, but I can't ask it until we know.
That's
the
what
answer,
I was so. Kind of. All of these feel wrong.
Well, three of them are correct. I think I know which three, but I still have a tech question about one. But anyway, I'll lock in my answers here.
Okay. All right. Scott's locked in.
Aliens. All right. Yeah, I'm going to lock in. That's the only one I feel confident about. All the rest of them, like, second guessing.
Scott, you said Dumbledore, Henry Hill, and Bambi. Brian, you also said Bambi. Bambi did survive at the end of Bambi. It was Bambi's mom that died.
Yeah.
And
Bambi's dead, and then mommy.
Yeah. Gets the 5-pointer. Yeah, Dumbledore survived Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Look, he just didn't survive the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I was getting... That's what I wasn't sure about.
And yeah, of course, Anakin Skywalker died at the end of Return of the Jedi. Force Ghost is not alive.
Well, that's Force what Ghost I, is not alive. That's my question. Yeah. Is it? Because Force Ghost sure can get around and talk and tell you shit. Like,
they can literally move things, right?
No, he can't move things. He can just sit there and say, by the way,
Patrick Swayze, by the way, Liz,
you're thinking of Patrick Swayze moving things? Moving a wheel of with clay on it. That's what he moves.
Okay. Oh, Half-Blood. That's right. Half-Blood Prince, not Deathly Hallows Part 1, correct?
Yeah, but yeah, Order of the Phoenix is only book 5, so he was still around for that.
Right.
The one that really, maybe I cheated, not really cheated, but I just watched, did a rewatch of Goodfellas, and that was fresh on my mind. Yeah,
can't believe you practiced.
Although they have that moment at the very end where he opens up his front door to get the paper, and he's in witness protection, and he kind of looks out as if maybe something's about to go bad, and you don't really know. It's left a little bit weird. And even though the real story it's based on, he lived. But anyway, good job, Brian.
Do I get this explaining when I win?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. You just do. Curious.
Yeah,
you do. I was seeing if it was payback or if it was something. Okay, cool.
All right. Okay. Let's go to question number two. See how well you guys remember your deadly sins. Question number two. The 7 deadly sins. Which of these are actual deadly sins? Gluttony, lust, idolatry, cowardice, wrath, and hypocrisy.
Ooh. Well, when did we see 7? That'll probably help.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. How many of these were in there? Let's see.
So 3 of these are in those. I think that's it. Boom.
Okay, Scott's locked in. Brian's locked in.
I'm not sure about that third one.
Yeah, the guy forced to sit there at his breakfast table, eating nothing but oatmeal, tied to his chair. It just explodes.
That was cowardice. Up.
That would be your gluttony.
Yeah.
The
guy that was forced to eat would be cowardice. That is not. That would definitely be gluttony.
We should have demanded a burger.
The dude that had to do horrible things in a strip club or the champagne room.
Yeah. I was thinking, poop is nuts.
Oh, the guy with the metal. Yes. Yeah.
The metal.
Damn,
yeah.
Dude.
The metal gimp suit.
And that's that guy who's always making that face.
It's that guy, that actor that is always making that face. And I want to say he was in, what was it? Was
Alien 3. He was in Alien 3.
Yes, that's right. That's what he is.
And other stuff too. But that guy's, he's a trip.
He didn't die in 7, no. You guys both picked gluttony and lust. That's correct. Scott, you said cowardice.
Damn it.
That is incorrect.
Oh, no.
So 0 points for Scott that round. Wrath
Which
was the other one.
Which makes sense because he was trying to push.
He was trying to push Brad Pitt to get angry, and Brad Pitt was Wrath. Yeah. And Kevin Spacey was Envy.
Yeah, right. TV's Travis says he was also in Alien Resurrection.
Okay, let me explain why I won it.
Oh, you know what? It was Alien Resurrection, not 3. It's 4.
Oh, he's Alien Resurrection, right. Yep. He's the guy. He's right. Yeah, right.
He wasn't in both.
Then he does die in that one.
Oh, yeah. Dies in everything. And I always think he's in Terminator, but he's not. There's that scene where the guy who... Yeah, making kind of the same face.
Yes, right, with the... liquid sword up through his head.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was a hell of a thing. Yes. All right.
All right. Well, we got ourselves a game. It's 4 points to 5 points. Let's get to question number 3. And this question is left-handed presidents. Which of these are left-handed presidents? Barack Obama.
We already have this one.
Delano Roosevelt, Benjamin Franklin. No, we've had a lot of president ones. We haven't had this one yet. Barack Obama, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Benjamin Franklin, James Garfield, Herbert Hoover, and Theodore Roosevelt. Mm. Which of these?
You sound like you said like about 12 presidents.
Because you made me start over, Brian.
That's right. I don't have any freaking idea on this.
Well, you could hedge your bet and lock in with 0 if you really think Brian is going to screw the pooch. But
that's not bad. That's a pretty good one.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm just gonna. I don't know. I'll do this. I'll just. I'm doing one. I don't know.
I'm just, I don't know how to pause. I'm going for it. Going for it.
All right.
Okay. Rolling the dice.
All right.
I'm rolling the dice.
All right. Here we go. Barack Obama and James Garfield.
Yeah.
Both left-handed. Oh. Very good. You guys.
I knew Obama was, but I wasn't sure about Garfield.
Herbert Hoover, the other left-handed president, Benjamin Franklin, neither left-handed nor president, and neither were either of the Roosevelts. They were not left-handed. They were both presidents.
They were both presidents. They were left-handed. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt ain't going to be no left-hander. He would die. Right.
Exactly.
He ain't doing that.
So, congratulations to Brian. His guess in getting right of 2 gave him 3 points for the narrow victory. Well done.
That rat bastard is what you are.
And that was an absolute guess on the Garfield. So in your face, I figured it was Monday.
Yeah.
It felt like, it felt like
Garfield hates Mondays.
Yeah. Well done. You did great. I don't know why. I just didn't know any of these. That Garfield thing was a full guess.
Oh.
Yeah,
Obama, I knew. I knew that one.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Yeah, they talked about that a lot.
I didn't know that either.
I'm sure he's like, would y'all just shut up?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I can now picture him shooting a basketball with his left hand.
Right.
Really?
I can see it. Yeah. Right. There's this famous video where somebody was like, he was going through a high school or something, and somebody tossed him the ball, and he went way out past the three-pointer line toward the door and just let it fly, and he sank it, like just all net. And I can picture which side he's shooting from now. I wish I would have thought of that.
If that's what you want from your president.
Yeah, you want a good shot.
You want him sinking those things, right? Yeah,
you want him to be able to sink his threes, really.
Yeah.
It's important stuff.
I want a president who I look at and go, holy crap.
Yeah.
That guy's amazing.
That guy can play basketball.
Mush potatoes, right. According to Ken Jennings, Benjamin Franklin, neither left-handed nor president. Mush potatoes is saying that Franklin signed the Declaration of Independence with his left hand, according to legend. But
he's not a president, right?
No.
Well, he wasn't a president, but this also the Ken Jennings card says not left handed nor president.
Also, I would argue that he probably signed it while in a hot tub with a bunch of naked French ladies and used his left hand because his right hand was busy. If you know what I'm saying,
right?
Yes,
wasn't
Brian.
That like a trivia question too. The Benjamin Franklin, he was omnidextrous or something, and he used both, and so it was a trick question.
I don't know.
That's possible. Although I would be surprised if the card said ambidextrous, right?
I think it is ambidextrous, not omnidextrous.
Not omnidextrous. Yes.
Was that where you can do the feet too? I think that's where you can do the feet.
Is omnidextrous?
Yeah. No, that's where you can read two science magazines at the same time. That's omnidextrous.
The Dodge omnidextrous.
There you go. Nailed it. They're running out of car names. Anyway, well done, Brian Dunaway. The important point is we got a winner there, and the winner is who won, Brian, and what they win again?
Oh, I'll tell you the winner and Chris. What they got. Good point. Chris from Calgary, you're going to get a copy of As Far as the Eye and Cepheus Protocol.
I think it's Cepheus. Yeah, oh. I think that's right.
Cepheus. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, Andrew from Indiana, you're getting Drake Hollow.
Drake Hollow.
That's a great one. I like Drake Hollow.
Yeah, Drake Hollow is good. Yeah, actually, the runner-up may have got the best single game, but I think the other two combined.
God, here we go again.
They make it up for it. So Brian made the wrong person wins, what I'm saying. Just kidding.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
In order, and the first two go to the winner. The third one goes.
I'll say this: I think Drake Hollow is already on the Xbox Game Pass. So you know, if you already have it,
is it? Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I have Game Pass.
That's how I played it.
No, well, look at you. You're a fancy man. Wow. Hey, tomorrow afternoon, me and Brian Dunaway finally tackling all things Kirby. Yeah, that's right. Ooh, NES finally. Up through the probably 16-bit era of Kirby. The one of my favorite game series of all time, despite its cuteness, I adore it. I adore all things Kirby. I adore it.
You guys have my day better. I appreciate you.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. You make ours better, too. And tomorrow at 3:30 Mountain Time, we'll make it even better with that episode of Play Retro. So if you like retro gaming and you think you might enjoy a show about
What was your favorite Kirby, Scott? Do you have a favorite Kirby
I still have a favorite Kirby, but it's a little complicated because it's the original Kirby on the NES, but it's the one that they remastered and basically remade it for the Game Boy Advance, and it looks it looks a billion times better, but the structure of the game is still my favorite structure of any Kirby game. So
Kirby Adventure, I
love them all. They're all good. The SNES game's amazing. I really like the new one that's on the Switch, which is the highest selling Kirby game of all time now. But there's a lot to like and a lot of interesting stuff around it. Kirby Forever. Kirby's also OP in Smash Brothers, completely overpowered.
Because he's a god.
Yeah, he is a god.
He's the god of the stars, right? He's Kirby God.
Yeah. And
he is omnidextrous.
He is omni everything. So come check it out. That'll be tomorrow. Brian Dunaway, always fun having you on, man. I hope you have a great day in your cold office.
Thank you.
Bye now.
I will.
All right. Well done. We have a little bit of time for news. Let's do a bit of that. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Genie, our intrepid and amazing mod for all things Frog Pants. May COVID be behind you faster than fast.
I agree. Yeah. Get that out of there.
She's still got some lingering symptoms, and hopefully those clear soon. My dad and my stepmom have it. Well, my dad just got over it, but my stepmom got it. So
his was a pretty mild run, right? He did okay with it.
Yeah. He did go on the Paxlovid, which apparently does taste as horrible as everybody says.
Oh, is it a drinky thing? You got to drink it?
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just a...
Is it thickened?
Don't know. That I don't know, and I don't want to answer that.
Well, good stuff. Anyway, Janie, we hope you're feeling better and soon. Moving on to some news stories like this one. We got a guy who was arrested for drunkenly running around campgrounds with a pelican. Yeah. Now the pelican wasn't naked. I guess the pelicans are always naked. Pelicans are nude by nature. Nothing you can do about that. But anyway, police in Idaho have arrested a man they say was caught drunkenly running around the campground with a pelican. According to the Madison County Sheriff's Department, they were alerted to the bizarre disturbance at the Warm Slough? Probably Slough.
Slough. Yeah, because that's how it is. That's how it's spelled on The Office, right? That's
It's like Slough.
Warm Slough. Yeah. Sounds...
Warm Slough Campground. This is in Rexburg. My wife went to school in Rexburg. She used to drive down here on the weekends and brave the snow and spin out in ice the whole time.
Really?
She'd come to see me. Yeah. Anyway, by a bystander who called to report that three inebriated men, quote, had caught a pelican and were carrying it around the campground, East Idaho News reported. Responding officers initially gave the three men a warning for harassing the bird, which is protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Two of the men then begin shouting at and flipping off officers.
Oh, giving them the bird.
Yeah, love that. One of them was, quote, causing a disturbance with the families and the kids at the river's edge. The man was arrested after grabbing for an officer's vest, resulting in charges of misdemeanor disturbing the peace and resisting or obstructing officers. It was not immediately clear if that was the same man holding the pelican or not.
So hard to tell.
Yeah, how can you tell in this day and age who's got the Pelican and who doesn't?
I'm not sure if that's the guy holding the Pelican that's
grabbing
for the vest.
Maybe it's his wiener. Look at this.
Did you read somewhere that this was a nudist thing? Because I'm not seeing that.
I don't know why I keep bringing that up. He's not naked. He's just drunk. I don't know why I'm associating
he's just
him.
Drunk.
Yeah.
He's a fully clothed man. Well, we don't know. We assume. I think they would have put that in the headline. Naked man drunkenly running around.
In my head, he's naked. I can't get it out.
You see the word campground, you immediately think, oh, it must be a nudist
camp. Yeah. Or warm slough maybe did it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe that would do it. Oof.
Ooh, that sounds like a thickened liquid right there, a warm slough.
Ooh, warm slough. It definitely sounds like a warm, thickened liquid, which is
room temperature
kind of thickened, thickened liquid.
About 80 degrees or so.
I'm going to clarify when I pronounce it. I got to make sure I pronounce it so people don't think it's thick and liquid. It's not three words. It's two words. Thickened.
Thickened. It's been thickened. It's created. They've created thickness in
it's
it.
It's a past tense word. Thickened.
Yeah, not thick liquid. And liquid.
Right.
I don't even know what even would that be. Thick and liquid.
Thick not and liquid. I mean, it would be a description of what that stuff is, right? That,
yeah.
Well, it's both thick and liquid.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. People listen. All right.
Yeah. Write it down. If you can email me or tweet about it.
Yeah.
Pronounce it correct or spell it correctly.
Here's a story that's pretty weird. Ecstasy disguised as Lucky Charms cereal has been confiscated. So it's not even the cereal like the kibble parts.
Marshmallows.
Just the marshmallows, anyway, on July 19th, officers were dispatched to a call at a local shopping district. Officers contacted two male suspects after a short foot pursuit. What does that mean, contacted? Officers contacted two male suspects, and after a short
How's it going?
How's it going? I'm contacting you.
Do you have time to come in?
I found you my contacts. I'm contacting. They got in a short foot pursuit, pursuing each other's feet, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, recovered two loaded handguns and a large amount of suspected drugs. Shown in a photo of the drug seizure, the guns were located on the males. The Ontario Police Department is sending this notification as a safety warning. That in the seizure was located suspected ecstasy that is made to appear to be Lucky Charms marshmallows. That is an odd sentence.
So keep your eyes open for a box called Oops All Ecstasy.
Yeah.
Don't get that one. That's the wrong one to buy. It's got blue diamonds, purple horseshoes, and white crosses.
That's right. That's right. Suspect vehicle had several bullet holes in it. I don't know why they're telling us that.
Oh, geez.
That's either from a previous altercation or... Ontario police opened fire. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's the thing. Don't eat those. This one's pretty bad and good at the same time. Chess robot goes rogue, broke a 7-year-old player's finger.
That's the queen's gambit right there.
Yeah, no kidding. A damaged ego is usually the worst injury in a chess game like this. But in Russia... 7-year-old child playing with robot was forced to interrupt game when machinery suddenly snapped one of his fingers, breaking it.
Please tell me that before the game, the robot said, I will break your finger.
I will break you.
I will break you.
The incident on July 19th, another 19th of July thing, was reported by state-owned news agency RIA Novista, which is, I don't care about that. Anyway, they quoted the vice president. I don't know why they have to tell us who they're all associated with. That's weird.
The news agency, yeah.
Like, who cares? Anyway, which quoted the vice president of the Chess Federation of Russia, recalling what appeared to happen, according to Sergei Smajin.
Smajin a finger.
The chess robot broke the boy's finger when the child went in for a swift move without waiting for the necessary time for the machine to complete its action. The boy is all right, says the quote. They put a plaster cast on the finger to make it heal faster. Yes, there are certain safety rules, and the child apparently violated them. And when he made a move, did not notice he had to wait. This is an extremely rare case. The first I can recall.
So basically, he went to reach for a piece that the robot was maybe still moving or something. And the robot grabbed his finger like it was a piece.
Oh yeah, and crushed it, which sucks. Oh. I mean, they don't say, but I'm sure he got it set and it'll probably be fine. But
it'll be fine. Yeah. You'll never play chess again.
No,
kid.
You're done. You're out. Chess is over for you, buddy. All right, we're gonna call that the news and take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will be here. We're gonna try to make a little sense out of all that Marvel DC stuff yesterday last week
and other Comic-Con. And other cool Comic-Con non Marvel news.
Yeah, I also have a comic I read because of Steven that I am excited to recommend. And this isn't even the other one I already recommended. The 8 billion genies is amazing and continues to be. New issue, I think, next week. Anyway,
okay.
But I have a new one to recommend that's actually done and done that is now in like volumes. You can just get it and it's fantastic. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk about it. Anyway, that's all coming up here shortly. Before that, though, a song from Brian.
Yeah, let's talk about an origin story for a musician here. As a teenager, Quinn DeVoe was raised on the music that his mom listened to, a lot of 80s R&B favorites, as well as his dad's classic rock stuff. Grew up in Gary, Indiana, left his home, drove across the country when he finally heard Muddy Waters for the first time. And it was the confluence of all three of those bands that put him together. Quinn Devereaux is the head of the band, the California Honey Drops, and they've released a brand new album. Our brand new single, sorry. The first song on this single, it's B-side or the A-side, is Very Best Thing. Here is Quinn Devereaux and the California Honey Drops.
Best thing you ever had. is all some kind of weird-ass science fiction thing, right?
You're someone else's enjoyment monkey.
How about a booby? You know the guy's got talent. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back from the break. Brian, who was that song?
Yeah, that is Quinn DeVaux, DeVaux, if you want to look him up. And the California Honey Drops and a brand new song called Very Best Thing. That's some R&B funk right there for you.
Wow. Middle of the show R&B funk.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Yes, it is.
All right, check this out, you guys. This right here.
Stephen Schleicher. Stephen Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's our old pal Stephen Schleicher joining us as he always does from Hayes, Kansas in the headquarters of MajorSpoilers.com, where he's been patiently paying attention to all the goings-on at Comic-Con San Diego.
Much stuff for you to watch over there, like all the things going on there.
Yeah.
So many things.
Oh, he's robot-y.
Only two trailer. Oh, I'm sorry.
They sound drunk and robot-y.
How many languages do you speak?
Oh, many languages. That's really weird.
Yeah, you're a little robot-y.
I should play it back so you can hear it. He's probably fixing it. In fact, I'm going to do that just for fun.
I'm drunking.
That sounds so drunk. Robot. I freaking love it. Anyway, no harm. It's all good.
Yeah.
Steven, welcome to the show. Boy, howdy, there was a lot last week. Like, San Diego exploded with information. I didn't think it was going to be that much stuff, like as much Hall H stuff. I don't know why I thought that.
Honestly, I don't think there was that much Hall H stuff in comparison to what we've seen in past years, right? Certainly, Marvel came out with a lot of announcements. We can talk about those in a little bit. But, you know, DC only came out and talked about the Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods.
Right. Yep.
And not Aquaman, but Black Adam.
Black Adam, yeah.
They didn't talk about Aquaman 2. They didn't talk about The Flash, which, come on, let's be honest. I don't think that movie's ever going to come out.
He gets a little bit of a mention in the Shazam trailer, by the way.
And a lot of people were like, oh, my God, Ben Affleck is back as Batman. Watch that trailer again, because those are all clips from other movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this isn't new trailer stuff. Do you really think, just real quick on the Flash thing, I know Ezra Miller's a nightmare right now to work with, and they're regretting everything. Yeah. But do you think there's a chance they just say, well, let's just scrap it and start over? Let's hire somebody new.
No, it's scheduled to come out next year. So who knows? It's next summer, I want to say.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time for heat to die down or for any kind of reshoots to be done. But I don't think we're going to see any reshoot.
You could get a new actor and it'd be better than Ezra. Get it, Brian? Get it?
I get it.
come on. It's a good band reference, everybody. Come on. Anyway, real quick before we get into the meat of what was talked about, I wanted to thank you for another inadvertent comic recommendation.
Okay.
So, you know, 8 Billion Genies has been my jam. I freaking love it. And I like apocalyptic stuff in general, just as you know. Mm-hmm. And you just nonchalantly on Twitter posted something about a series I hadn't heard of before from Image called Year Zero. And
That's one that's coming out, right? Yeah.
Right. Well, there's one coming out, but there's two volumes of it. So the thing that's coming out, I guess, is kind of prequelish, it's more of the story or something.
Yeah.
These first two volumes I didn't know existed, and I went and grabbed them both, and I absolutely loved them. They're really hard to explain because they're not normal zombie fare at all. So if you're all out there going, oh, another Walking Dead, no thanks. That's not what this is at all. In fact, the storytelling techniques are more akin to something like anthology series, but they're all happening at the same time. Yeah. I absolutely tore through that and loved every freaking inch of every one of those pages. That was an awesome read. So if you're out there and if you're like me and you like your genre comic fiction, Year Zero, or is it Zero Year? Crap. Whichever it is. Is it Zero Year?
Yeah.
I forget.
Zero Year.
Zero escaping. grab it because it's great. The first two volumes are out and available in trade, and then, of course, digitally, and then the new stuff coming out, I couldn't be more excited about. It's really, really awesome. So thank you for that, Stephen, yeah. Once again. Good recommendation.
Not a problem. And if you guys are looking for some other great comic books to read, the Eisner Awards were given away Friday night. In the past, it's been Saturday night, but they've switched that to Fridays. And, of course, that's where you're going to see all the great comics coming out. Some of them I've talked about on this show before. For example, The Good Asian, mm-hmm. Which talks, it's a 1930s noir mystery about the first Asian American detective to do work in the San Francisco area.
Oh, yeah.
That one won for Best Limited Series, but also in the nominations for that is one that, Scott, I keep telling you, you need to read, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is basically True Grit, but with superheroes in space.
That's awesome. I need to. Yeah, you've mentioned that one before, and I got to freaking get around to it. I think part of me was like, it can't possibly be as good as you say based on the premise, but it sounds like everyone agrees with you.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So if you want to read some good comics, there's certainly go and look at the list of the nominees and the winners from 2022. And that'll get you a good place to start on some fantastic comics.
Yeah, I heard really good things about The Good Asian, but also an Image thing. I still feel like some of the best stuff's coming out of Image these days.
Well, it's all creator-owned.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, like exactly. I mean, I just feel like that strategy is now such a rad payoff.
The freedom, yeah.
For the creativity and stuff. People are given all the freedom in the world to make whatever they're going to make. And I don't know, kind of love that. Meanwhile, they can still do their big wig stuff like, you know, McFarlane spent the whole weekend going, I'm back with Capullo. We're doing Batman.
Yeah, they're doing Batman. Yeah.
Batman versus Spawn again. We're bringing it back after 30 years, however long it's been. And, you know, so they can still do their big highbrow stuff. But then in the background, you got these rad little
one
small
for you,
books.
One for me.
Yeah, it's great.
So I did, real quick, I did take a little time off from the San Diego Comic-Con coverage and had one of the best movie theater experiences ever in my life.
Whoa, oh my gosh, what? Really? Wow.
Well, probably in the last 20 years. I went to go see Nope, which is a fine movie.
Yeah, okay.
It was me and one other couple in the whole theater.
Really? A brand new film? Like,
yeah. Well, wow. And the weird thing was I went at 4:30 in the afternoon, which I figured, okay, you're going to have a lot of the older people there.
Yes.
I don't want to say elderly, well, but older
well
people.
Well said,
there.
Yes, yeah. Right. Sure.
But maybe it's because of the cast that people in my area didn't go. I don't want to say that everyone here is a racist, but that may have played into it.
Sure. Sure. No. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was an enjoyable movie. But yeah, it takes me back to the times back 20 years ago where I could roll into a theater at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and be the only one there. Mm-hmm. And,
I do
and enjoy
like
the movie
that.
By myself.
I kind of like that too. I like being able to just, I don't know, get in there and be done.
No, I mean, that I would take that. Like, basically, the order for me is empty theater with just me and Tina, then in a theater full of people who are big fans of the thing I'm watching and like cheer when the first appearance of Iron Man is on screen or the new character or gasp when, you know, a character was rumored to be in the movie is on. And then at the very, very bottom of the list is the stuff I usually get, which is talking in a normal voice, pulling out their phone. Assorted distractions with the jerks.
Says here, here's the consensus on Rotten Tomatoes for the film you saw. Admirable for its originality and ambition, even when it succeeds its grasp. Nope adds Spielbergian spectacle to Jordan Peele's growing arsenal.
Spielbergian.
Got a pretty good audience and tomato score. High 80s, 83. Or mid, low 80s, I guess. So that seems all right.
So,
what would you say?
No spoilers, but if you've seen Steven Spielberg's early work,
yeah.
Specifically the stuff in the 70s that started the summer blockbuster stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, pretty much homaged / used heavily / the main point of this movie.
Does Steven Yeun build a big potato mountain out of mashed potatoes?
No, but okay. He does have an amusement park.
Yeah, that we see in the trailer. So that's good.
Michael Wincott is in this, and I love him till the day he dies. So is he cool? Because I like him. He's great.
Everybody's cool. All the actors are good in this.
Let me know he's cool. He is cool, right?
Dude, Michael Wincott is cool. He is the coolest.
As long as he's cool.
Yeah. He's so old Bill on Westworld.
If you go and see this, and you'll instantly recognize, oh, okay, when they talk about Spielberg movies, I see the two or three that they're talking about here, which is great. But then go ahead and look for, okay, what's the message or what is the other story that Jordan Peele is trying to tell here? And I, when you see it, Brian, I'm be very curious what your thoughts are on what the message is.
Yeah, we were thinking about seeing it this weekend, then we saw Maverick instead. But
I think
this coming weekend is the plan for Nope.
Did you say Nope when you said you were going to not see it? Did you say Nope?
We asked the crazy neighbors if they wanted to see it, and they said Nope.
That sounds about right. Just for the three of us, because we're all men of a certain age, the AARP Movies for Grownups review says a little bit Close Encounters, a little bit North by Northwest. Nope is nonstop entertainment, working with Oscar winner Danielle Kaluuya. I never say his name right. His version of Cary Grant. Peele weaves a wild Western UFO tale, he says.
I would not say North by Northwest for this movie.
Really?
I really would not.
Okay.
There's the first Spielberg movie that they mentioned. Yes, right on.
Mm.
There's another Steven Spielberg movie that's even bigger that came out in the 70s that kicked off the summer blockbuster. That is this movie to the beat. Not Close Encounters. That one they meant. That's the one they mentioned in the AARP thing.
Okay.
All okay. Right.
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah.
That you'll figure out. Da-dum.
Okay.
Da-dum.
Oh, I like that Barbie Fieri.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay,
I hear you.
Space sharks. No? Okay. Well, anyway, so there's that. All right. The big stuff from Comic-Con.
Marvel.
Don't even know where to start here. There was so much stuff. Well, you know, some of this stuff, known quantities coming soon, like the new Lord of the Rings trailer looked great.
Which looks great. Yeah.
All that stuff looked great. But really, I guess the main attraction is Marvel gets a hat-wearing Jim up there. to announce what the next phase is. He always wearing the hat.
Jim.
Never takes a hat off, just as part of the rules over there. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, he announced a bunch of movies and what the phase four
will end with Wakanda Forever, which comes out, November?
Yeah.
Beginning of November.
And then phase five will kick off with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which comes out in February of 2023.
Is Quantumania a known thing comic-wise? Like, is that a word I should know?
It's the quantum, it's the,
The Quantumverse. We've already
seen the Quantumverse.
That.
Yeah, okay. Like you see that in, those of us who've watched Ant-Man and Wasp. Know about the Quantumverse and.
Sure. Well, I knew about that from the comics, but I thought the Quantumania part was maybe a storyline I hadn't heard. Or
that's just a play on the word quantum.
Okay.
Quantumania.
Sweet. All right. So you got that.
Yep, and then, Bill Murray will be in that, as is MODOK, has been confirmed. Yeah. Both of those will be in Quantumania.
And we don't know who's doing the voice of MODOK. Could it be Bill Murray?
That would be interesting. Or if they got Patton Oswalt to come back.
Will he just sound like
Garfield?
Garfield, yeah. Wait, though. If you're going to have Bill Murray be MODOK, you just have him, he'd do the whole thing, right?
Hey, I'm just just a giant floating head with little arms, man.
That's a pretty close. That's pretty close. That's good.
That's the first time I ever tried to do a Bill Murray, and you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell it's an unworkshopped.
You got it. You're on your way.
That's an interesting thing. How come Tom Cruise is the only person not in the MCU? Feels like everybody else is. Why can't Tom Cruise get in there?
Did you not see Iron Man? Scott hasn't watched that one yet.
Which one?
Yeah, that's right.
Which one?
Never mind. I won't say anything.
Anyway, Secret Invasion comes out in spring of 2023.
He's not Iron Man. I saw all the Iron Men. He's not Iron Man. What are you guys talking about? What crack are we smoking today?
Are there any movies you haven't seen yet, Scott?
Oh, does he show up in like some kind of... Is he in Multiverse of Madness?
Maybe you better watch that.
All right. Sorry. Okay. I thought maybe they were like, no Thetan's hair. Get out of here, Scientology man. We can't have you in our MCU. Anyway, sorry.
All the other space aliens in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which comes out May 5th of 2023.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Getting an Echo series.
Yeah.
Coming out in summer of 2023. Loki Season 2, summer of 2023. The Marvels, July of 2023. That's movie.
Yeah.
That one, again, if you haven't seen... Ms. Marvel. That ties directly into that and leads up to that. So
boy, does it. Yeah, does that last scene just go right into...
goes right into it.
Yeah.
Yep. Blade, you guys were talking about that earlier, comes out November of 2023. Ironheart, fall of 2023. Agatha Coven of Chaos, Winter of 2023-2024. Daredevil Born Again, Spring of 2024. That one they did say would be, compared to a lot of the other episodic stuff that we're getting on Disney Plus, Kevin Feige said that this was going to be an 18-episode season.
Oh, wow.
With Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio.
That's awesome.
This is Born Again, based on the comic book series, and the comic book series apparently flying off the shelves on Amazon and other bookstores after that announcement.
Yeah, they get the knock-on effect going there. That's cool.
Yeah. Then we've got Captain America, New World Order, May of 2024, and then Phase 5 wraps up with The Thunderbolts, a villain-centric movie, July 26th of 2024. And then that will be the end of the Phase 5 stuff, and then we go right into the confirmed films for Phase 6, which will begin in November of 2024 with The Fantastic Four, and will end not very long afterwards in May of 2025 and November of 2025 with two Avengers movies, Avengers the Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars. So maybe we'll see a black costume appear. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But and that's going to wrap up the Phase 6 series of films. And they also said that that will also wrap up their multiverse saga with Secret Wars.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's a lot. I guess the one that surprised me the most on this whole thing was probably the witch one. What's her name? Agatha.
Agatha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea they were going to spin that out. That was news to me.
They announced that a while ago. Mm-hmm. They hadn't given it a title, but they had mentioned it, I want to say, last year.
Mm. Oh, by the way, early word on that. I know they showed Sandman, the latest trailer for Sandman, which is coming soon. Early word on that is it is rad. Like,
it looks really good.
Real good, yeah.
I want to see how far they go, because obviously we see a lot of the Corinthian in there. That's the guy with the mouth for the eyeballs.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that is where the first season, if it even goes past that, if that's where that will end.
There's so much of that stuff. I wonder how they'll compress it. You know, like the Sandman ran forever and not all of it. Well, was the entire run? I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Neil Gaiman.
Did Gaiman do the entire run of Sandman? Or is it,
pretty sure he did.
Because I know there have been stuff since, or crossovers and stuff he's got nothing to do with, but I think, yeah, maybe he was. The point is, that entire run is incredible, but it's a ton. It's so much. It's a huge body of work, and I don't know how they're going to break it out into a show, but I'm so looking forward to that. Cannot wait. That stuff's right up my alley.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Yeah. And I'm down with Jenna Coleman as Constantine. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't have John Constantine in it, she plays a female version.
Totally fine. Yeah, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally fine.
Yeah.
Scott, did you finish watching, or did you continue watching Loki after the couch?
Queued party? Up and ready to go. I didn't have time really this weekend because of the stupid state holiday and all my family's in town, and that made it hard. Okay. So I haven't had a chance, but I'm going to. I'd love those first two episodes. We ended up watching it for our couch party, like Brian mentioned, on Friday, and I loved it. So I'm all in on finishing that. I told Kim when that's finished, we need to catch up on some MCU movies. So I think we're going to do the Ant-Man 2 first and then do Multiverse. But after Loki, going to do Loki first, then we're going to roll into those and just be caught up on it. I still don't know if I want to watch.
That actually is a good idea, because Multiverse stuff, you want to see Loki before Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I guess my biggest surprise with that, and this, I know we're all late to the game, or I'm late to the game on this, but this design aesthetic of that show completely caught me off guard.
The TVA.
Yeah, I love it. I freaking love that stuff. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, it's like Fallout World or something. I absolutely love how all that stuff looks. So anyway, yeah, I'm gonna keep cranking through that. Was there anything that you thought we would for sure hear about? I know on the DC side, there's a few that we thought we would, like, you know.
Well, on the DC side, there was a crazy rumor that was started by a bunch of bullshit websites. Sorry, crazy website that were saying that Henry Cavill was going to make an appearance at Comic-Con and that they were going to announce Superman Man of Steel 2.
Right. Yeah.
And if you logically think your way through the claims that were being made, you knew that was not going to happen at all, top to bottom. Yeah. So that was one thing that I think people got upset about. I think on the Marvel side, people were like, well, I was really hoping we would hear about Fantastic Four. That's a movie that's like 3 years away, or two years away. They're not going to talk about that stuff now. In fact, here's the thing. Anything that is further away than the end of 2023, you're probably not going to hear any major news about that.
Yeah, and half the stuff then, I shouldn't say half, but some of that stuff will get delayed anyway. They all do. Like,
yeah, it's either going to get delayed or they're going to make changes, or if we blow our wad now, we're not going to have anything next year for Hall H.
Yeah.
We're not going to have anything for D23, which, again, I honestly think there was some stuff that was held back that they weren't showing, like a lot of the trailer stuff for some of the movies that are coming out very soon. That's all D23 stuff that's coming up.
Yeah.
A lot of people were upset. Oh, I'm surprised Warner Brothers didn't make these announcements about Harley Quinn or the Gotham show or any of these other things that are coming out. Well, I'm going to bet that before the end of the year, we get another DC fandom.
Yeah, that thing was really big last year. Right. They're going to do their own thing.
Those have been big for 2 years in a row. So and the fact that DC didn't have a booth at Comic-Con, and the fact that, you know, a bunch of companies really did not have major Hall H presentations.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that people looked at what DC did with DC Fandom and what D23 is doing with Disney and everything that they have going on. And people are like, we can get a huge audience if we do it ourselves and stream it.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're going to see more of that coming.
Yeah, they've gone full Nintendo. They're like Nintendo with E3 and other events. They're like, no, we do better when we do this stuff on our own. I don't blame them. And I kind of like having this stuff spread out. I like having more than just this one summer event where everybody tries to cram everything into one weekend. I'd rather have it spread out like that anyway, so that's fine. Let's see, what else? Oh, they showed a new John Wick 4 trailer. That was cool.
Yeah, that one actually looked really good, and Keanu Reeves showed up to the Hall H Berserker presentation, because Berserker, if you haven't read that, Scott, you might enjoy that. Berserker is an immortal who doesn't remember his past, but he's basically a hitman for the government, and he's trying to remember his past and put it all together, so kind of think of an immortal version of John Wick. They're going to be coming out with more comics and I believe a movie based on that comic book series as well. It just wrapped up, I want to say, last week or last month.
Okay.
Comic book series from Boom Studios.
Okay. I just bought The Good Asian, so while you were talking.
Okay,
so
good.
You're always...
I think you'll enjoy that.
You're my dealer on this stuff.
Berserker, B-R-Z-R-K-R, no vowels in that.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Got it. Berserker, as my daughter used to say. She'd say berserker. Well, there you go.
That you guys saw coming out of the Comic-Con news? Because I tried to focus mostly on the comic book stuff, but I mean, there was game stuff, TV stuff, lots of other things going on.
Nothing really jumped at me other than these, you know, I was interested in seeing what Marvel's doing with their show stuff and all that. I think the new trailer, I know what I liked the most, the new trailer for She-Hulk Attorney at Law.
Oh, yeah.
That looks freaking great. I'm so excited for that. I can't wait for it.
I love the fact that Ruffalo he appears to be really in this a lot, which makes me so happy.
Yeah, and he seems to be having a great time, and I think the humor works, and I need that from these things. That's the other reason I think Loki is strong out of the gate, is there's
humor. Also, if you go back and watch that trailer again closely, you'll see Daredevil make an appearance.
Yeah, at the very end, he shows up. You don't get to see Charlie Cox's face, but it's implied. He's got the two little sticks and everything. Mm-hmm. I heard some story that Charlie Cox thought they were going to be locked in for multiple more seasons on Netflix for Daredevil and ended up skipping a bunch of jobs as a result. And then they got pulled because of the whole change. I just think it's great that he gets a chance to freaking do this again.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see that contract, because Kevin Feige has said Charlie Cox is always our Daredevil, and that was ahead of all these announcements and everything. So people were like, oh, there's going to be more Daredevil.
Yeah.
I like that they're making it up to him, showing up in the Spider-Man movie, showing up in She-Hulk. Then we're going to see him in 18 episodes, which probably would be like two or three more seasons if it was on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a lot.
We didn't get to see him in what's his name? The Arrow guys TV show.
Hawkeye. Yeah.
Yeah. Hawkeye.
The Arrow guy.
Oh yeah. Arrow. I think is.
I mean, but we got a Daredevil tie into that.
Yeah.
So I think that that's cool. So,
and I assume, so this new series must be, without spoiling anything, I assume it's a prequel-ish time period than Hawkeye. Because there's a certain, we know D'Onofrio's in the new 18 episodes, so it can't be after that.
Oh, couple of things, Scott.
Yeah.
If you've seen that Arrow TV show.
Yeah, I did.
Unless you see a body, Ain't nobody dead.
That's true.
Yeah.
Freaking Marvel.
Also, that Echo TV series, Echo is a protege of Daredevil, so right. I would suspect that he will show up there as well.
Make an appearance there.
Do you think,
well,
do you think, oh, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Everyone thinks he's so good looking. Dude from Blade Runner guy. I think his name.
Ryan Gosling.
Think Ryan Gosling ends up in the MCU at some point?
I mean, he really wants to be, and he just is in this Russo Brothers movie, The Gray Man.
Yeah,
he does a lot of action in that.
I'll be recommending that this week. I freaking love The Gray Man. It was awesome.
As much as people are hating on it, it isn't a terrible movie.
No, it's a good time.
It's a good time. It really is. I mean, if you were, to me, it felt like, and I don't play these games. My son loves to play these games. My oldest one, the first person shooter, the six hero shoot 'em up games.
Six hero.
Yeah, you know, the first person, let's be military people going in and doing stuff.
Call of Duty games? What do you mean? I don't know.
Yeah, Call of Duty. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't play those games. So.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
Wasn't sure which one you meant.
It could be Overwatch, could be anything. It felt like I was watching, you know, action sequence after action sequence after action sequence.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
Be honest, a lot of people are like, well, I don't know where they spent that $200 million to make that movie. Well, you've got six huge names in this movie as far as actors and actresses go.
Yeah.
And that with all the special effects stuff, there's $200 million right there.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I'm hoping Netflix doesn't say, oh, crap, we're not getting the traction we wanted on this, or people are really, you know, shooting us down on this, and then don't move forward with some other movies, because I know that they're looking for a franchise.
Yeah.
This could be their Fast and Furious franchise. What's the one with the mercenaries that has all the old action heroes in it?
Expendables.
Yeah, Expendables. Yeah. This could be their Expendables.
It could be like that, I could see them doing that. There's a little bit of Bourne Identity to it. There's a little bit of, there's a whole bunch of stuff thrown in here. I just think it's very deftly directed, and the cast is insane. Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, Ana de Armas, by the way. It's funny to see her reunite with Ryan Gosling from Blade Runner, and then reunite with Chris Evans from Knives Out. Billy Bob Thornton's amazing in this. Freaking Billy Bob doing a whole new thing.
Really?
And, yeah, okay. Alfre Woodard, amazing cast. They're all great.
Yeah, those names right there, that's where half your budget went.
Yeah, freaking.
Because I'm gonna bet that at the low end they each got $10 million.
Oh,
at the low end,
absolutely.
But at the high end, they probably got $20 to $30 million, depending on who they are.
So and if you want to watch
five, six names right there is $100 million.
If you want to watch Chris Evans eat scenery, man, he's great in this.
Really? It's funny because in Knives Out and in this movie, he plays the villain, right?
Yep.
The bad guy. Spoiler alert for Knives Out.
And listen, if you haven't seen it yet,
I know, right?
You've lost your chance. Yeah.
Which is a total, you know, it seems to be he likes to take these villain roles to counteract his Captain America role.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that.
Yeah, it is. And I think I don't feel like he's been typecast at all. I think this stuff really.
No, it does. He does really well with it.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a great, I mean, I know Recommendals is Wednesday and I'm, you know, spilling my candy in the lobby here, but I like The Gray Man a lot, and if you want to have a whole lot of fun, it's really fun. And the Russo brothers know how to make really great action, and there is a car chase that rivals some of the best I've ever seen. It's real good. I liked it. Anyway, I guess that's it. That's a lot, but all of this stuff is all over the internet, but of course MajorSpoilers.com is going to have a bunch of this as well, so make sure you guys check that out if you want to stay up to date on all things Comic-Con. Steven, anything else going on over there that you want to mention?
Let's see. This week on the Major Spoilers podcast, we're diving back into newspaper comic strips, and we're going to be taking a look at the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Oh man.
Newspaper strip that ran in the 80s all the way through the 90s.
Wow. I didn't realize they did a comic strip, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And you can tell right when this came out that it was like, oh yeah, He-Man's really popular now. And so you're reading along and then it's like, oh, you can tell right when the movie came out because they introduced these characters into the
really?
Comic strip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everything that entire enterprise was just, how do we sell more toys? So I'm not surprised.
Kind of, yes, because there's the section of the book that I'm reading right now. There are huge chunks of the original strips that are missing that no one can find. And so they're just like, okay, in this strip, here was the plot of this strip. And they have no art for it.
Weird.
And then you go in and you're reading further and you're like, the husband-wife team who was putting together the newspaper strip kind of reached out to the Mattel people and said, hey, we should do something with this. Is there a way we can collect this? And the person at head of Mattel was like, yeah, do you know who has the original strips for this stuff?
Interesting.
And so it's like, just disappeared to the wind.
Wow. Well, as Skeletor always said,
I don't think I feel well.
There you go. Hey, Steven, this is always fun. I love having you on Mondays, and can't wait for more major spoilers during the week. Thanks for hanging out with us. There's a bit of a horrible heat wave happening right now.
Yes, please. Is there anything?
What should we
stay
do?
Stay hydrated.
Oh, hydration. That's it. I knew the answer, but I had to hear you say it. Oh, he left. All right. He got me this time. All right. Well done, Steven. Always good to have him here. Got a couple things here real quick, including this Monday morning mashup.
Yay!
Sent to us by Jamie, who's always doing great work. So thanks, Jamie, for this. As always, yeah. This is a something called the ICU. All right? That's a normal thing, so I don't know what this is, but we're about to find out. This. Sit back and enjoy.
Well, what do you want to do today? I don't know, but I definitely want to do a lot of talking. I know. Let's go see a movie. I'm going to... Oh.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're here, and we're not queer, but it's okay. You can get used to it, okay?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's see if I can choke on this.
See if you can choke on that, Scott. Do your best.
I'm good so far. Not so bad so far. Even like the, not Dances with Wolves, Whisper with Sheep. What's that called?
Oh, Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs!
Yeah.
Whisper of the Sheep. That's not...
Whisper of the Sheep.
Brian is the only person I know in Arvada that exists, or anyone that I know.
No, that's not what that sentence says.
Brian's the only reason I know Arvada exists. There we go.
A person in Arvada that exists.
Oh, man. Careful with him, though. I once squirted one on a friend, and it didn't look good. Anyway, continue. Claire, what did your mom wipe your butt with? Did they power hose your vajay? What'd they do? What'd they give you?
Used den and a sock and an old sock.
We used an old sock, and we used it twice. We'd wash it, use it twice, and use it again. The very next day, take another shite, and you'd use your sock again.
You know what that means, Greg? Oh, my gosh. Let's make it official.
I'll fight back, butt naked.
That's not it. Hold on.
I must have it.
Sounds good. I that.
I mean, it's good.
Yeah. I wouldn't turn down a big plate of from anyone. It still had to go beep, 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 boop, 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 beep. Whereas now you just, it's not
boop,
the...
Boop, 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 boop.
People got their boobies out.
That's what they're hoping anyway.
Yeah, that's what they want. I'd love to see Facebook take one of the chode for this one. Boy, a lot of chodes today. Choding.
Lots of chodes. It's a chode-heavy show, people.
Yeah, very chody. My office smells like chai tea, by the way. Do you know why?
Better than smelling like chode.
No. Make an argument for any positivity about getting a in your throat.
Right, exactly.
But even people who love, do you really want one in your mouth?
No.
No. Can you make a Wildcats movie? Why not make a Wildcats movie?
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. We need an Image Cinematic Universe, an ICU. Oh, that doesn't quite work.
The ICU. Oh. Yeah, no, we can't have the ICU.
That's right. Hey, what's Samuel L. Jackson? Oh, he's in the ICU now.
Yeah,
oh,
he's in the ICU. Have you guys heard about that? Sam Jackson has jumped ship and is now in the ICU. Oh, no. Is there anything we can do? Well, yeah, go watch the movie. It's a good movie. But he's in the ICU. How did I forget that we did that? I don't remember that at all.
The whole Image Cinematic Universe, yeah.
It was pretty good, and I don't remember it. All right, I don't remember anything anymore. All right, well done. That was amazing. Also, you should have done a UC on this, which is unnecessary censorship, because none of those were real swear words.
There was a little bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, so he combined them. Well done, Jamie, as always. A quick email to read.
Send and receive email.
It is themorningstream@gmail.com, themorningstream@gmail.com. Got one here from Sven from baseball camp. Who says howdy? Says howdy, B and Sting. I was listening to your B stories on episode 2322, and I have one of my own that still weirds me out to this day. I was going for a run when a bee flew at my face, landed in my nose, and stung me inside my nostril. Yeah, it gets worse. About a minute of nasally, whatever that means. Fran Drescher sounding. Oh, I see. There's more to the sound.
Describing. Yeah.
About a minute of nasally Fran Drescher sounding expletives later, I realized the bee never actually flew out of my nose.
Oh, my God.
Cut to 3 days later, I'm in the bathroom doing my business when I realize I had just pooped out a bee. which had somehow died inside my body. For the briefest moment, I thought I was demonically possessed, like something out of a bad Candyman sequel. There's no such thing. But then I remember my experience from the run, still didn't make it any less unnerving. Thankfully, nothing came of it behind the initial sting and the lasting mistrust of the great outdoors. Moral of the story, don't go running, kids. It's bad for you. Buzz buzz, Sven from baseball camp. P.S. I don't usually get to listen live, so I'd like to submit a sting from behind for titles if you read this show. Somebody add that. A sting from behind.
Already did. It's in there.
All right. Behind. See, get it?
Sting from behind.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
behind.
Worse.
Behind.
I'm sure there are worse places to get stung than your nostril, but that's high up there.
Oh.
Yeah. Inside, and then the bee never got out. F that.
Inside your freaking nose.
Yeah.
The pain.
And that means you horked it down your... your sinuses. Yeah,
at what point do you think the bee died? Like...
Yeah, won't someone think of the bee? I'm worried for this bee. Anyway, I never want to see a bee in my toilet. Ever. Ever.
No. No.
Nope. Bees are bad. But they're good for the environment.
Pooped out a fly.
There you go. That's it for the show. I just wanted to thank Jim Apple.
Yeah.
I think it's a play on Tim Apple. I don't know for sure.
I think it might be, or maybe that's just his real name.
Just lucky, because 2014 is when he signed up, and it's always been Jim Apple, so unless he changed it, I guess. But he's been a patron of the show since 2014. Do you want to be like Jim? Well, there's no time like the present to start. Patreon.com/TMS. Be like Jim Apple and join up today. Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. And as always, you can find us everywhere you get your podcasts. Leave a review for TMS. It helps us. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Please
People
do.
People notice it. It pushes us up in the rankings and things, or wherever you're getting it, whether it's that horrible Google podcast service, which is the worst ever.
It's really, I've never looked at it.
It's so bad. I mean, all my stuff's on there. It's listed, but I freaking hate it. I never have problems with anything but that. People are always going, oh, for some reason, the Google Podcasts only downloaded 2 minutes of the show. I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know why it sucks so bad. There should be no reason. Just they're half-assing it. It's weird. Anyway, wherever you get them, leave us a review. That'll do it. We got to play a song. Brian, let's play a song.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, this one is going out to Nigel Cox, a.k.a. Boba Fetish. It's no surprise based on his name that he was a big Star Wars fan. I don't have any Boba Fett theme songs. I know there was the Book of Boba Fett that had a somewhat memorable song, but I do have a great cover of The Mandalorian. This one performed by Beyond the Guitar, a great cover of the song going out as tribute to Nigel Cox, Boba Fettish. Wow.
Again, to everybody who knew him, really, really sorry about his loss. Yeah. And I hope everybody can, I don't know, remember how rad he was. This happens in our community here time to time. And I don't know, it's a good just reminder to hug those you're with and be kind to those around you and mm-hmm. be like Boba Fettish. He was a really, really cool dude. All right. That's it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Are you two heading for Las Vegas?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.